It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
Here talking some NFL football, guys. I mean, I feel like we kind of beat a dead horse every time we talk about NFL football. However, it's probably our most popular subject, so we're going to talk about it anyway. And we've got some problems in wide receiver diva land, and there's quite a few of them that are going to be out this week or out for a while. You take a look at some of these names. Eric Decker on Joe's beloved Jets. Out.
Who's
partially
he?
Torn rotator cuff. Dez Bryant injured, out for this week. Sammy Watkins on IR with a foot injury that has been bothering him since last season. Josh Gordon enters rehab a week away from being put basically back into the Cleveland Browns starting lineup. And Odell Beckham Jr., well, he's just a distraction. Guys, which one of these wide receivers is causing his team the most problems?
Tie between Gordon and Beckham. I think...
What?
Gordon not...
They're like the least distraction.
Gordon not being there is hurting the Browns offense. I mean, they weren't going to be good. They play in the AFC North. They will probably get swept in that division most years. They might win a game or two in the division, but they're probably going to...
Against the Ravens.
No, against probably the Bengals.
Against the Ravens.
No.
and the Ravens.
No, I would say Bengals and Steelers this year.
And the Ravens.
They would not win three games in the division.
All right, so here's the deal, though. I think Gordon and Beckham Jr. are the least. I think the biggest worry is Dez Bryant. Look at what the Cowboys are doing with Dak Prescott, and you also have Zeke Elliott, who's starting to run at the caliber you want to see him run.
And that's why you don't need Dez Bryant.
No, you do need Dez Bryant, because he can't run if they don't have a passing game, and they can't pass if they don't have a good run game. There has to be a balance. I think that one is huge. And then Sammy Watkins on injured reserve. This is a talented wide receiver. This is somebody who has made phenomenal OBJ catches, who have been, you know, able to help the Bills play at a high caliber. Now, I don't think Rex Ryan is going to last very much longer in Buffalo, but you look at their, you know, statistics. And
that
would
make Joe Mixie very happy.
but you look at the Bills, and they're two games back. You know, and as much as it's, you know, frustrating, you look at the AFC, and if they started playing well, they could at least make it in as a wild card.
They could get
They're not
going to beat the Patriots.
But they could get
division.
A wild card, or the Jets could get a wild card. So this has an impact on not just, you know, the Bills. It has an impact on what's going to happen in the AFC East, because now the AFC East is completely opened up for who could get in as the wild card, because we all know that the Patriots are going to go, you know, Brady's going to come back and just light it up. So I definitely think that it is Dez Bryant and Sammy Watkins. Eric Decker, I think they have enough talent to be able to keep running. I feel really bad for Fitzpatrick, because he had a horrible game this last week.
Oh, I don't feel bad for Ryan Fitzpatrick at all.
I do.
I'm with you
there.
Not
in the least. Three of those interceptions were tips.
Now bring on Geno Smith, please.
Three of those interceptions were tips.
Make my day and bring in Joe's worst nightmare, Geno Smith. please.
I think you got
Mark Sanchez is not walking through that door.
No. It's
Chad
Geno
Pennington?
Smith, baby. Let's go.
Is Chad Pennington
Chad Pennington is like Joe's boy. Yeah. No, I do think it's Eric Decker. Sammy Watkins is right up there, in my opinion, because he's probably going to be out the longest in all of this. Josh Gordon may never play again for the Browns.
No, not for the Browns. I think they already parted ways with him. But here's the thing they had to be getting in front of this. I want to believe the best for Josh Gordon. I do. But there's only one reason why you would enter.
And that's because they thought that he was going to fail another drug test.
Because he was going to fail.
Yeah.
He's trying to get out ahead of something.
You look at Odell Beckham Jr., and obviously he's a distraction, but as long as he continues to produce, I think that there won't be an issue.
How many Hall of Fame wide receivers have been a distraction on the sideline?
Oh, my goodness. Terrell Owens is going... Well, he's going to be.
Yeah, he's going to be.
I mean...
Chad Ochocinco.
A lot of people forget Marvin Harrison was a terrible human being. And they just remember, oh, well, he, you know, Peyton Manning to, you know, the Marvin Harrison, they were great. He was a horrible person. But people don't talk about it because he just didn't come out and say it in public. I mean,
he didn't really do much.
No, I mean, but he, in terms of like, you know, behind the scenes, there was a lot of towards the end of his career where he was just not a nice guy. So, I mean, you look at the rest of this list, I think Sammy Watkins, you can make the argument that he's the biggest loss. You could also look at Dez Bryant. I kind of agree with you to the fact that, yes, he's a big part of Ezekiel Elliott, and they're going to stack the box now, but I believe in Dak Prescott getting the ball, too.
They still have Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley.
You mean the guy that can't get out of bounds? Yeah. Terrence Williams? Yeah.
You know, just that guy?
Talk about making my day, Terrence Williams, not getting out of bounds the first week.
I'm just saying, they have people to throw to, and if Zeke keeps running the way he's running, they're still going to be fine. But I think that's a huge issue.
And when Dak Prescott inevitably takes the starting job from Tony Romo, but
I think Tony Romo's done.
No, I don't.
I think he's done. I
think he's got at least this season and probably some of next season.
I think he's going to come in and he's going to Peyton Manning this season. He's going to come in, he'll do a little bit, and then he'll just start throwing picks.
Yeah.
Because that's Tony Romo is like the definition of roll the dice, see what happens.
Yeah.
Like he is either going to come up big for you or you're going to get like four interceptions.
To make a very nerdy analogy here, he only rolls ones and 20s. He never rolls 15s.
Well, there you go. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to move on.
I have no idea what
that means. There is probably someone listening who knows what that means.
All right. So we're going to move on. Jamal Charles and Le'Veon Bell. They are back this week. I was going to throw in Tom Brady, but he's not back till next week. So and I think that's obvious that he's going to make the biggest impact for his team when he returns. But we've got two running backs to look at. Le'Veon Bell for the Steelers, Jamal Charles for the Chiefs. Now, both teams have had a good set of running backs that are running behind them or running for them while they've been away. You look at the Chiefs with Spencer Ware. And I just blanked the other guy's name. He's got a really weird last name. Sharkhandrick West.
Yes.
Sharkhandrick West. And then you look at, obviously, the Steelers. You've got a guy in D'Angelo Williams, who's done very well for them while he's been away. So Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Charles, both coming back. Jake, in your opinion, which one? I know you're a Ravens fan, but let's be unbiased here. Who is the better pickup for their team? Still going to say Jamal Charles anyway, aren't you?
I'm torn here because they're both really good. They're both very, very good running backs. I can't deny that Le'Veon Bell is very good at what he does. I may not like him.
He has a certain set of skills.
He has a very particular set of skills. Skills that make him a nightmare for my Baltimore Ravens. But I still give it to Charles. The Steelers have other talent they can go to, and the Chiefs' offense revolves around Jamal Charles. The Steelers' offense doesn't revolve around Bell.
Kyle, I think Jamal Charles is washed up.
I think Jamal, man, why are we agreeing so much? I don't think he's necessarily. I just don't like Jake.
That's the problem.
I've been waiting for a Stephen A. Smith Skip Bayless thing going between you two, and it hasn't happened yet.
It's going to happen on something like ridiculous. We're going to be like, because man,
what do you mean you like Vince Scully?
Should start.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the mediator position if this was first take.
Okay. So I think Jamal Charles is not washed up. I think he's damaged. And there's a difference in the fact that I think in his damaging, he has been more damaged. In his different...
This is a man that's had both ACLs torn.
Yeah. Like, he has the intelligence that you want a running back to have. He has the abilities to be able to transfer that onto the field, but he doesn't have the body to be able to keep doing it. So I think he'll be able to produce probably 3 to 5 games this season, maybe. But overall, I don't think he's going to be able to stay healthy enough to keep going, because you got to look at how long he's been out. So you're going to see a lot of shared with West and Ware as well. But I think Le'Veon is really going to kind of top everything out, because you look at last season when he came back, he had like 24 carries, and D'Angelo Williams had one that first game. And he ran for like 120-some yards. I think with Bell's age and the ability to heal fast and also stay in shape and be prepared, I think Bell's going to have a huge impact.
He probably will. I just don't want him to.
He will.
See, I told you, Jake. I told you you were going to be biased.
I can't help it. If they wear the black and gold, I can't like them.
Coming from the biggest Eagles fan on the face of the planet, telling you not to be biased, I mean, that's a little, you know, pot calling the kettle black here. But anyway, look, I believe that Jamaal Charles, when he comes back on Sunday, it will be a timeshare at least to start the season with Spencer Ware. And you look at how well D'Angelo Williams has run in the time that Bell has been away this season, and let me just state this. I had Charles and Le'Veon Bell on my fantasy teams last year.
So
I took not one, but two hits last season.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had Le'Veon Bell, Jamaal Charles out, and I still finished in second place. But that's just a story for another time. Anyway, I think it will be a timeshare. However, when you look at Le'Veon Bell and when he has come back from injuries or suspension from staying off the weed. Sorry, I just had to do that. He has taken the majority of the carries from D'Angelo Williams.
He has. But we have to remember what happened. What knocked him out last season?
Injury. Yep.
So I think that starting, we're going to see a lot more of D'Angelo Williams, because D'Angelo Williams, he's been playing like good old Cadillac Williams. Like we got him. Like he has
That was such a long time that they used to call him that.
I know.
Well, wasn't that a different guy? Wasn't it for Tampa Bay?
No.
Cadillac. Oh, man, I forget his name. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, you'll have to look it up, because I don't know. But the fact that he's running so well, I think, is going to give the Steelers a longer time to be able to see where Le'Veon Bell is and how he's running and how he's feeling, how he's able to repair, especially after a game, because you have to remember, these guys are going through basically a train wreck every game.
Pretty much.
Just running through walls. So we'll see. We'll see. I think Le'Veon's going to have the bigger impact, though.
It was the running back from Auburn, Lamar Cadillac Williams.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Cadillac Williams. He played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is what I thought. And then he went to the Rams for a year, and then he was kind of done from there. But no, he was an interesting guy. I'm thinking about it, but I guess you could call him Cadillac Williams.
He's been trucking through people.
Yeah, no, look, and I like D'Angelo Williams as a Steeler. I hated him as a Panther. He was so bad. Him and Jonathan Stewart were like the bane of my existence, because they were supposed to be like that 1-2 punch. And I'm not even a Panthers fan by any stretch, but they were supposed to be like that 1-2 punch, and it was like a 1-2 like slap. You know what I mean? Like, it was
just a little.
But
yeah.
The cool thing about it, though, is you see how impressive they've been since they've split, because they don't have their kind of competition between the two of them now. They're the person. And you see Jonathan Stewart last year be able to produce, and now you see Le'Veon Bell really produce. So,
all right. So we're going to change it up here. Trevor Siemian has basically carried the Broncos, at least last week, to an undefeated record so far. Trevor Siemian, the man that nobody knew who he was before heading into this. Everyone thought it was going to be Joe's boy, the Sanchez, starting for the Broncos. Instead, it is Trevor Siemian.
You know who knew Trevor Siemian? John Elway, that guy from over a year ago on Twitter. And all he said was, Broncos. Remember that one time? I mean, you look at what Trevor Siemian did, though. 312 yards, 4 touchdowns against a good Bengals defense.
Yeah,
I mean,
a Bengals defense which is basically handicapped.
Now, Bengals defense didn't have Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, yeah.
So that makes an impact.
Yeah.
But they aired out the ball. Everybody thought they were going to do bubble screens. Everybody thought they were going to keep it short. Everybody thought it was going to be, you know, 10-yard slant patterns. Nope. They were throwing it down the field, and I don't know if you saw the one to Demaryius Thomas. That throw was a perfect pass.
If Tebow can do it, then Trevor Siemian can do it.
Hey, you know what?
Hashtag bring back Tebow.
Hey, he's hitting a home run, so we're good.
That's right. That's right. He is hitting a home run. See, why do I like you? I'm not supposed to like you. What is going on? We were like talking. I don't understand. We were talking during the pre-show and everything we were disagreeing on. And then we get here. It's like, yeah, he makes sense.
I'm here.
That's right, hey, Jake.
I'm here.
That's right, Jake.
Adam, it's us against Jake.
That's right. That's right.
Pretty
but
much.
No, I do think that Trevor Siemian, and I guess I kind of forgot to mention this. There was a report out this week that is Trevor Siemian trade bait, because obviously they drafted Paxton Lynch and Paxton Lynch is the quarterback of the future,
no.
supposed to be, of this team. That's why they went up and drafted him first in the first round. Now, I think that Trevor Siemian is in a tough – that the Broncos are in a tough spot, that you lost Brock Osweiler, and, you know, Trevor Siemian has done very well for this team. Now, I believe it has a large part that this defense is as good as it is. That this Broncos defense is all-time great. However, they did lose two pieces in the offseason, and a lot of people were questioning whether or not they would be as good to your Jacksonville Jaguars, by the way.
Malik.
That they would be as good as they were this season, and they have been, and I think Trevor Siemian has
been better.
Trevor Siemian has something to do with that.
I still think it's the defense. That there were games where that defense absolutely dominated the entire game, and Siemian had a great game, but I, as biased as I am, I mean, the Bengals are the Bengals, and they will be that reputation until they prove otherwise.
All right, so Trevor Siemian, is he trade bait, yes or no, Kyle?
Absolutely not.
Is he trade bait, Jake?
I don't think so.
All right. I think he is. We will find out what happens. One final thing. The NFL, as we mentioned earlier, is headed back to London for the first time in 2016. Now, money aside, because obviously they're making a truckload of money going to London. Has this venture been successful for the NFL? 60 seconds, Kyle.
Absolutely. I mean, you look back and where they've played throughout the years, and they've drawn a crowd. I'm just looking through stats at Wembley Stadium in 2007. They had 81,000, which is a lot in Wembley Stadium in 2008. They had 83,000 fans. They kind of bounced around playing in Toronto in 2008 as well, which
horrible
didn't
mistake.
Go, yeah, that didn't
no,
go as well.
Stick to Canadian football.
But you got London again in 2009, 82,000. So they draw crowds, and it's also fun because it kind of gives a little bit of the U.S. take on football to those who like football.
I don't like it. I do not like this London thing. As a fan of the Premier League, that time difference is awful.
Yeah, it is awful.
Guys, we're gonna wake
like
up.
That's an 8 a.m. like start for most games.
We get to wake up though, and this Sunday we get to watch football from 9:30 in the morning.
But the problem is, I'll be in church, so I won't get to watch it. I like watching all the games on my Sunday Red Zone. I like seeing when everyone's going
to
score.
You go out to lunch after church, you get home
at
1 o'clock, and you start watching football for the rest
of
the day.
Or you can, like, you know, pick up some – I'm sounding really fat when I say this. You can go pick up food and then take it back and watch
too.
The guys make their picks and then watch football. I mean, you can't – I'm sitting there. I have to check my phone in the middle of church feeling like a sinner because I want to see if Allen Robinson scored any points for my fantasy
team. I really want to see that.
I mean, that's the problem. You know, I like it, and I think they're making a lot of money, and I think it's good for London.
It's good for Jacksonville because they win.
Yes. My only problem with it is if they move a team to London.
That would be horrible. That'd be awful.
Now, if they're going to make a full division in London, I'm okay with that. But you can't just put one team over there.
No.
Can't put just one team over there.